Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, New Testament. Book of Ephesians. If you find Corinthians, you have 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. We're going to go to chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. And I'm going to read two verses, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Good. Let's stand while God's word is being read. And you will probably notice that the scripture this week is very similar to what we read from Philippians last week. Starting with verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. We'll just stop right there. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, once again, we are at that time here at Beech Grove where the word has been read, and you have appointed me to bring the good news. So, Father, I just ask that the words that I am about to say, the meditation of my heart, will be pleasing to you. It will be what your Spirit has for me on this piece of paper here before me, that I will speak your truth. And we will all grow and we will all learn. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We are in a sermon series titled Christian Conduct. How well we learn and obey what God's Word teaches about our behavior as Christians. And it's not so much our behavior here inside the church, because most of the time we act pretty good when we're in here, but it's what we do outside the walls of the church. 2 weeks ago, I taught that our conduct as Christians depends on two very basic factors. The first would be the quality of the teaching that the Christian receives. And the second factor would be that desire that the Christian has to learn and obey that teaching. Last week, I taught four important points about Christian conduct. And from there, we were in the book of Titus, chapter 2. The first thing that we learned was this, that proper conduct needs to be taught because it's sound doctrine. And that was Titus, chapter 2, verse 1. It's sound doctrine. It's not just good advice, and they're not just suggestions, and they're not just guidelines. It's sound doctrine. In other words, what Paul is telling Titus is this, teach the people, Titus, how to behave as Christians. It's sound doctrine. The second thing about Christian conduct we learned last week, we exhibit proper conduct so that Christians will not malign the Word of God. Titus chapter 2, verse 5. When a Christian displays poor conduct in an unbelieving world, it does these four things. It makes that Christian look bad. It makes other believers look bad. It makes their church look bad. And it makes God and God's Word look bad. So we are not to malign the Word of God. The third thing that we learned was this. We exhibit proper conduct so that we do not give an unbeliever a reason to say something bad about us. Titus chapter 2, verse 8. The world is watching, and it's watching us very closely. Last week I had a magnifying glass up here, and that's how some of the unbelieving world is watching us as Christians. And we don't want to look bad in the eyes of the unbelieving world. And the world is watching, and they're just waiting for us to fail and to fall miserably. And the fourth and last thing we learned last week was this. We exhibit proper conduct so that what Christians have and what we have to share with the unbeliever will appear attractive to them. Everything that we say, everything that we do is a reflection of who we serve. So the question is this. Will our conduct attract an unbeliever to Christ? Last week, I started a story. a story about two people in an office environment, an office area, Beth and Marcy. Now, I'm going to summarize that story as quickly as I can here this morning. Beth and Marcy, two ladies in a Christian environment, they're both Christians. It just so happens on one particular day, Beth, she lost it. She got very angry with some of her co-workers and accused them of stealing all her candy off of her desk. And boy, did she make a scene that day in front of the whole office and all the co-workers. The story ended with this. The next day, Marcy was in her cubicle going back to work, and some unbelievers gathered in the office in the cubicle next to her. She overheard them. And these were three of the things that the unbelieving co-workers were saying. The first thing was this. I thought church people were supposed to act like Jesus. At which they all started to chuckle. The second thing was said was this. Well, you know, she's invited me to go to her church. I guess I'm never going to her church now. At which they all started to chuckle. And then the third piece person says this. I knew it. I just knew it. I know that Christians are just a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites. At which they all chuckled a third time. If you need to hear the whole story of Beth and Marcy, the sermon from last week is up on the church website, and you can go there and listen to it. But let's move on. Let's move on with the story here this morning. Let's pick up with Beth and Marcy and see what happens in episode number 2. Marcy hears these words from the cubicle next to her from these unbelievers, and she just hangs her head and starts to pray. And Marcy prays and says this, Lord, what should I do? I know what Beth did yesterday, and I hear what these people are saying in the cubicle next to me. Lord, what direction? Is there something I need to do? Is there something that I need to say? You see, Marcy remembers a time in her Christian past when she was just like Beth, when she acted very, very unchristian-like in the face of a lot of unbelievers. And she knows that at that time she also failed. But at that point in time, she had a Christian friend who came up to her, talked with her, prayed with her, but held her accountable for her actions. She feels like the Lord is leading her also to have some words with Beth about her actions from the day before. She waits until after lunch. She sees Beth coming back from lunch, and Beth goes back into her cubicle. Needless to say, no one has spoken with Beth all morning. Marcy goes up to Beth's cubicle and knocks on the outside of it, sticks her head in, and Beth says, what do you want, Marcy? And Marcy says, I'd like to come on in and talk with you if that's okay. And Beth kind of reluctantly goes like this and waves her on in. Marcy goes in and sits down and says this, Beth, do you consider me a sister in Christ? And Beth says, yes, I do. And Marcy says this, I know what happened yesterday, Beth. I've heard other people talking about it, and I even heard it myself. I saw your actions, and I even heard your words all the way over there on my side of the office. Do you know what you did yesterday was not very Christ-like? At which Beth responds, now wait a second, Marcy. you don't understand. You don't understand what's going on in my life. Did you know that we're having some home improvements done? And our house is in a shambles. It's been in shambles for about a month. And everything's out of order, and everybody's getting on everybody's nerves inside our house. My husband's getting on my nerves, I'm getting on his nerves. And the kids are getting on everybody's nerves. And to top it off, they said it would be done in 2 weeks, and here it's been 4 weeks, and they're still not done. And they probably won't be done for another couple weeks. And to make matters even worse, they gave us the price tag yesterday, and that price is going to be a whole lot more than what they initially said. And then I come in here, and I find the candy stolen from my desk. Let me tell you what, Marcy, that was the final straw. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I lost it. And Marcy pauses for a while and says, Beth, if you were having difficulty at home and things were getting frustrating, you could have spoken to me. We could have gotten together at break time, at lunchtime, before work, after work, and we could have prayed together. That's who I want to be for you. I want to be your accountability partner. I want to help you when you're going through tough times. But now look at what you've done to, and everyone in the office area, Beth, has witnessed your actions from yesterday. And let me assure you, Beth, they're not saying very nice things about you and your Christian conduct right about now. At which Beth replies, I said what I had to say, and I did what I needed to do. Marcy says this, but Beth, your actions made you look bad. And as your sister in Christ, your actions made me look bad. And your actions made the church look bad, Beth. And the worst thing is you made God look bad by your actions yesterday. Beth replies, I did what I did. Marcy says, you know, Beth, there is hope. You know that there is something that you can do. And Beth asks, well, what might that be? And Beth said, Marcy says, you can apologize. And I'll help you do it. Do you need help? I'll be there with you. I'll stand there beside you. I'll help you through this difficult situation. Beth just kind of hangs her head. Marcy goes up, puts her hand on Beth's hand, and they start praying. Well, that's all of the story we'll tell today. We will finish up with this story next week to see how Beth handles the situation. Let's talk about what we know from today's lesson. We have all had times of failures, haven't we? Some people fall harder than others, depending on their status, depending on their situation, depending on their sin. And sometimes we are Beth. In our story, Beth is fortunate to have a friend like Marcy. Over the years, Marcy has walked many tough paths. But because she has walked those tough paths, Marcy has matured in biblical wisdom. Marcy cares enough about Beth to hold her accountable for her actions. Would we have confronted Beth with the same words and with the same tone that Marcy confronted Beth with? Do we care and do we love our Christian brothers in Christ enough to hold them accountable for their poor conduct? We should. We should. And let's look at some scriptures here this morning that encourage Christian accountability. First, let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians. So if you're still at Ephesians, go a couple books to the left. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read a couple verses there, and then we'll pick out what we need to make the parallels between what Paul is teaching the Corinthian church and the Marcy and Beth story. I'm going to start in chapter 5, starting at verse 9 and read through the end of the chapter. And then we'll glean from that. Starting with verse 9. I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy, or the swindlers, or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard or swindler. With such a man do not even eat. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. The situation that's going on in Corinth is not quite the situation that's going on in the office. There are certainly at two different levels. At the church in Corinth, there is a man in the congregation who is performing and going through some very, very sexual, immoral times of his life. Immoral practices. Beth just lost it one day. But here's the parallels that we need to glean from this area of Scripture. And let's learn these two truths from these verses, and we'll apply it to Beth and Marcy. And the first one will be our first fill in the blank. First fill in the blank in the bulletin says this: God will judge those outside the church. God will judge those outside the church. Remember the next day when Marcy came into work, there were three unbelievers in the cubicle next to her saying some pretty bad things about the situation that happened the day before. Marcy, her concern is not for the three unbelievers in the cubicle next to her who were saying bad things about Beth, saying bad things about Christianity, saying bad things about the church. Even though what they said were words that may have hurt, Marcy leaves that judgment up to God. Why? Because Marcy is going to respond the only way Marcy knows how to respond, and that is with words of biblical wisdom. And her words of biblical wisdom and biblical truth will only appear foolish as foolishness to those unbelievers in the cubicle next to her. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this, that the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. If Marcy is going to spend time this morning trying to correct a wrong situation, it's not going to be with the unbelievers. Who will it be with? Our second fill in the blank. Christians are to judge those inside the church. Inside the church. Marcy's concern is for Beth. Beth is her sister in Christ. Her concern is not for the three unbelievers. Marcy remembers a time in her past when someone judged her and held her accountable for her poor Christian conduct at that time. I know we don't like to hear that word judge. So many people go back to Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 and says, do not judge, do not judge, do not judge. Maybe one day we'll do a whole sermon series on judging. We are to judge those inside the church, my friends. And I know it is the human condition to put up a wall of defense when someone points out your faults to you or points out my faults to me. It's just that human condition that wants to do that. And there's something inside us that wants to say, don't you judge me. And Marcy hurt the first time someone pointed out her faults to her also. But, as time moved on, it helped Marcy grow and mature in her walk and journey as a Christian. She got to the point where she was thankful that someone not only wanted to teach her and train her, but when necessary, to correct her and to rebuke her also. We like the teaching and training part. So often, we put up a wall of resistance to the correcting and rebuking. But we are to judge those inside the church. Let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew and see what Jesus says about this thing of accountability. Matthew chapter 18. And I'm going to read a couple verses here. Matthew chapter 18, I'm going to start with verse 15. I'm going to read 15, 16, and 17. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. In these three little verses here, Jesus is outlining a four-step progression of accountability, of how we are to judge those inside the church. Today, we're only concerned about step number one, a one-on-one confrontation. And I know Jesus does say, if a brother sins against you, and I know that's not exactly the situation with Beth and Marcy, but Marcy wants to confront Beth with that sin. And she's going to do it on a one-on-one confrontation. And that would be our third fill in the blank in our bulletin. Accountability begins with a one-on-one confrontation. It begins with a one-on-one confrontation. If I was caught in a sin, I would certainly hope that Phil or Lee or Dan would come up to me and say, Mike, there's something we need to talk about. And that's exactly what Marcy did with Beth. A sin put a blemish on the church and on God. And Marcy wanted to make sure that it was dealt with as soon as possible. And may I point out at this time that Marcy was not concerned with the reason that Beth was so frustrated and had her outburst. The buildup of frustration over the home situation, and then the melting point when the candy was stolen off her desk. Marcy's not concerned about the reason. She's concerned about the result, the outburst itself. And Marcy wanted to make sure that Beth was aware that her Christian conduct was poor due to her outburst that day. Remember Philippians chapter 1, verse 27? We've been reading that the last 2 weeks. It says this, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Marcy knows that what Beth did the day before made Beth look bad. It made other believers look bad, it made her church look bad, and it made God look bad. For one very brief but obvious moment, Beth maligned the Word of God. And sometimes, my friends, that's all it takes, is just that one very brief moment when the world is watching. So yes, we are to judge those inside the church, and those steps of accountability begin with a one-on-one confrontation. And now the final lesson that we need to learn. How should that confrontation be handled? And for that, we will turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians is right after the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to go to Galatians chapter 6 and see how that confrontation should be handled. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, and I'm going to read those two verses. Brothers, if someone is caught up in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Our fourth and final fill-in-the-blank is this. We must confront our brothers and sisters in Christ in a gentle manner. In a gentle manner. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says this, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Just before that, in chapter 5 of the book of Galatians, Paul just got done talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And we all know what the 9 fruit of the Spirit is: joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, self-control, and gentleness. So what he is saying is this, you who are spiritual, you who are led by the Spirit, need to go to that brother or sister in Christ who has fallen and restore that person gently. Restore that person gently. Marcy could have lit into Beth with the third degree, and she could have got that finger pointing, like maybe sometimes I get that finger pointing on Sunday mornings. But she didn't. She didn't. There may be a time when admonishing needs to be a little bit stronger and maybe a bit more serious. But not now. Not at this point. She needs to restore her sister in Christ gently. 5 things. Marcy needs to correct, but not condemn. Marcy needs to uplift, but not undermine. Marcy needs to restore, but not reject. Marcy needs to help, but not hinder. Marcy needs to love on her and not lord it over her. She is to restore her sister in Christ gently. I believe accountability is one action that is slowly becoming absent from the church. And maybe it's because we might all think, well, it's the pastor's job, or we might think, well, it's the job of the elders, or we might just even think it must be somebody else's job. But the Bible tells us different. It's not. It's every believer's job. Or maybe we think we will offend someone if we bring out their faults to them, because they might feel like we're judging them and we don't want to judge them. My advice here is the same advice Jesus gave. Oh, you can judge them. Just make sure you take the plank out of your eye before you do. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Personally, I would want to be judged and held accountable for my poor Christian conduct by you. Knowing that, as time moves on, I'm going to grow and I am going to mature in my Christian walk, and I hope that you feel the same way. Christian conduct, Christian accountability. What grade will God give you for your past 6 weeks for your Christian conduct out there in the world? Will you get an E for excellent? Will you get an S for satisfactory? Or will God give you a U for unsatisfactory? Next week, we'll conclude the story of Beth and Marcy and see how Beth responds to Marcy's gentle correcting and her accountability. Let's go to God in prayer.